appreciate that this morning. This morning, I want to very quickly get into something that's important that we all must learn to do, that is necessary to become a mature Christian, and just to be a follower of Christ in general. This topic is one that is taught and preached about a lot, but I don't always believe that it's taught and preached in a fashion that we need to reflect on ourselves. But then, because of that reflection of ourselves, what do we do with the learned information? And that topic this morning is learn how to forgive. Learn how to forgive. The disciples come to Jesus and ask him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus answers, except ye be converted and become as one of these little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus teaches us firstly in Matthew 18 that in order to forgive, we must have humility. We must be humble and humble ourselves. Humility is necessary for forgiveness. Then they come to him and they say, how often shall my brother offend me and I would forgive him? They say, seven times. Jesus says, 77 times. He said, seven times 77. How many times? And Jesus basically says, as many times as necessary for them to be forgiven. Then he turns to the brothers and sisters in Christ, even those that are in the same church. And he talks to them about honesty and how honesty is needed in forgiveness. He tells them, if you got a problem with your brother or sister in Christ, first go tell it to them. Don't go tell it on Facebook. Don't go tell it to everybody else before you tell them. Be honest enough and man or woman enough to go to them individually with the right heart. Because at the end of this, Jesus is going to say, you got to come with the right heart. Let your hearts, he says, if ye from your hearts. If you go with the right heart and you can be honest enough, the truth and love, you've offended me or there's some problem between us. You go alone. And if that doesn't work, then you go with two or three witnesses. And if that doesn't work, finally you tell it to the church. The problem in churches today is a lot of people have an offense and they want to tell it to the church first before they ever go to their brother and sister in Christ first. It doesn't become a church issue until they won't hear you the first time or until they won't hear you with two or three witnesses. And then finally we get to that. And then if they still won't hear you after the church mediates, then you treat that person as a lost person. But Jesus finally gets to this parable in Matthew 18 and verse 21, let's read it together this morning. If you're able, stand with me for a reading in honor of God's word. Matthew 18 and verse 21. It appears on your screen. There are Bibles in the back of your seats. You're welcome to use. If you need a copy of the word of God, don't take that one. I have some really nice copies that we would love to give you as a gift from our church in my office. Just see us after church and we'll get you one. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then came Peter to him. Said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I thank you today that you have given us an opportunity and a platform to preach your word from your word, Lord, not from my word, not from what I say, but of thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray that it be clear to the hearers, that I present it clearly, Lord, what you've wanted me to say. I ask these things in the name of Jesus now. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The servant owes 10,000 talents, which is equal to 193,000 years of earnings. It's billions of dollars in our world today. Basically, it's an incalculable amount of money. If you knew anything about Jewish history, this is the gospel to the Jews in Matthew, and it's only found here in Matthew, but the number 10,000 is the largest number that the Jews would count up to. And so a lot of times in the Bible, when it gets past that, it just says thousands times thousands. It just means an incalculable number. And so this servant owed an incalculable amount of money. It was the largest coin denomination they had, a talent, not like a denarius, a smaller one, but this is their largest coin amount, and 10,000 times he owes this, 193 years worth of earnings. It would take almost 200,000 people to make a yearly wage to pay back what this servant owed this king. And in verses 26 through 27, watch what he asked for. "The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." He asked for patience on a ridiculous request. Now watch this. He asked for patience, but the king gives him pardon. The debt we owe can never be repaid because it's a ridiculous request. When we asked Jesus to save us, it was a ridiculous request. All of our sin, all of our problems, all of our error, it was ridiculous for us to think that God would forgive us this, but this is God's capacity to forgive us, that God did not just say, okay, I'll be patient with you. He gave us complete pardon. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I shall bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. The reason why I can say it is well with my soul is because God wasn't just patient with me, but he pardoned me. Amen. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Because Jesus paid it all, and to all I him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Some of y'all don't know this, but there's that old song, "I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love, and it wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole." That's the forgiveness God gave us through Jesus Christ, his son. Now, Jesus, through the parable, illustrates that if you've been forgiven, you ought to behave like you've been forgiven. With what measure of forgiveness you dish out or you mete out is the same amount of forgiveness that you'll receive, the Bible says. The Bible says in Matthew 7, don't judge people when you got a 2x4 in your eye and you're just judging the splinter in their eye. You better make sure you get all that out of your face, out of your life, before you look at anybody else. And sometimes we forgive through a calculated lens of I'm better or you don't deserve. And in order for us to learn to forgive, we need to know some things here. In verses 28 through 30, here we are after being forgiven many times. I wish I had some big sinners in here this morning. I wish I had a couple of people in here and knew how bad they were, because this would really compute. If you knew how bad you were and you knew how much it costs for Jesus to forgive you, then this would compute in the way you look at other people and when it's time for you to forgive. Because here we are, the fellow servant. The servant owes an incalculable amount of money, 193,000 years of earnings, of billions of dollars. And he asked the king for patience on this, and it gets pardoned. garden. But now this servant has a fellow servant who only owes him 4 months of wages, a much more realistic request to be forgiven of. But he goes and grabs him by the throat and says, you're going to pay me what you owe me right now. And here we are after our forgiveness a lot of times. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, remember, they're both servants. Ain't no sense in slaves not forgiving slaves. Ain't no sense in slaves fighting with slaves. This is one of the ways they keep us poor, keep us broke, keep us down. Because whenever things start getting right in the church, whenever things start getting right in your family, whenever things start getting right, what they do is they send in the opposition to get us fighting amongst ourselves, and then we can't get what needs to be done achieved. And the devil's real good at that tactic. He said, we're going to start having some infighting, because if they're infighting, then they won't be fighting against us. And so now the fellow servant, he says, oh, he owes him 100 pence. This is 4 months worth of work. He could have paid that back. He could have got some people to help him and paid that back. But he goes and lays hands on him. Physical violence. Literally the wording is he went by the throat. He's choking him out and says, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. When the king gave him patience, he said, I'm not just going to give you patience. I'm going to give you pardon. And in verse 30, he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And here we are. We've been forgiven, but here we are. You owe me money, and here you are out here buying shoes. You owe me money. Here you are going on vacations. You owe me money. Here you are buying iWatches. Oh, no. We're not going to have that. I can't believe that. We got to tell everybody he owes me money, and he's barbecuing. Oh, we're going to be mad about that. Then we don't want to forgive somebody even though we've been forgiven with a more egregious request than what they have had in their lives. Now listen, this is really important to understand as far as learning to forgive. You can agape love in forgiveness, because in agape love, we often major on unconditional love. That's what it is. But there's two parts of the understanding of agape love. The first part is unconditional love, but the second part is that it's a love that's good for both of us. It's a love that works for both sides. It's that you love me and I love you, and it works out for both of us. And so in agape love, understand this. It's a love that's good for you and me. And so listen to me. I'll help you if I see you with a flat tire, but you can't ride with me. I'll give you a drink of water, but you can't drink out of my cup. This is okay. This is okay, because sometimes you, listen, I'm not going to allow you to borrow any money. I love you, but I can't allow you to borrow no money because I don't trust you with money, because you ain't no good with money. And if I give you some, you're just going to waste it. And so it doesn't mean I don't love you. It just means I can't trust you with it. Watch this. You can forgive somebody and not trust them at the same time. I got friends whose kids were in drugs, and they want to come and borrow money. They say, we can't let you borrow money. I love you. But the reason why is because it's not good for both sides of the relationship, because I know what you're going to do with the money. And so I love you, but it's agape love. But the love's got to be good for both of us. And I'm not going to give you money to let you go hurt yourself with it. And that's okay in forgiveness. Sometimes in forgiveness, you got to keep people at arm's bay. You can love them, but don't mean you got to be around them, okay? Now, hear what I'm saying. I just want to be real careful. My grandmama said, feed them with a long spoon. She said, let them eat, but let them eat outside. Sometimes people have hurt you, or some people have done you so bad that you forgave them biblically, and you need to, but it don't mean they got to be all up around you all the time. It don't mean that you got to keep on letting them in, because a lot of times that influences your life. But listen, if it's a brother or sister in Christ, what you do have to do is humble yourself enough to know that you're not perfect, and be honest enough to go to them and tell them why you're not going to be around them. I'm not going to be around you because this is what you did. I love you, but agape love is it's got to be good for me, and this relationship ain't good for me. Because you keep hurting me, you keep lying to me, you keep stealing. I let you borrow money, and the next week you come in with a new purse. I let you go here, and you trample all over my roses. Listen, it's not always good for both sides. Agape love is that it's good for both sides in forgiveness. But if we want to learn to forgive, we got to remember a couple things. Number one, you have nothing to pay with. You have nothing to pay with. Look at verse 25. Remember who you are in forgiveness, for as much as he had not to pay, His Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and the children and all that he had, payment to be made. Remember this, you and I deserve nothing and we can give God nothing. You could work your whole life and do the very best you can and it would not be enough to have paid for your salvation. And you can't pay for anybody else's salvation either. So in forgiveness, remember, you have nothing to pay. Remember, you don't have it all together. And so with the same measure of forgiveness that was given unto you, you need to render back to other people. See, when he went to this other servant, he could have said, now listen, you owe me money, and I'm going to pardon it just like the king pardoned me. But I know from now on in our business dealings, we can't be together in business dealings no more. So I'm cool with you. I love you, but we won't be partners anymore. That would be agape love. That'd be good forgiveness, wouldn't it? There's people that leave churches and it doesn't mean I have anything wrong with them or they have anything wrong with me. It might be agape. It may not have been good for one side or the other. It don't mean we hate them. It don't mean we're mad at them. It just wasn't the right relationship for both sides. And that's okay as long as we're honest with each other and humble and we don't go out and say, well, this and this and this and this and this and this was wrong and that and that. No. We come together face to face and we deal with it. And then once we're apart from that, then we can move on with true agape love. That's what real forgiveness looks like. Sometimes you got people that's ignorant in your family, don't you? Oh, Lord. I didn't want to talk about it, but it just came up. Sometimes there's people that's ignorant in your family that you just can't get along with. And you love them, but it's not good for both sides to be with each other. Sometimes it's not good for both of us to be around each other because one reason why it's not good is because, I mean, listen, I don't know how y'all do it, but black folks, we do it like this. Black folks can't go to a family reunion and play spades together because it's going to cause a problem. I mean, whoever got the big joker is going to act a fool, and they're just not going to act right, and it's going to be an issue. And so we just might as well just not even play because somebody's going to leave with hurt feelings. We're mad. It ain't going to be good for both sides. So let's just not even play today. Let's just go on just fellowship together. Amen. You know what happens in church, though? Sometimes in church, oh, she got the position I wanted. Oh, he got the position I wanted. And so and instead of going and talking to people that you need to talk to, you just mad and take it out on that person. And now you don't like them for no reason. You got your lips stuck out. But the Bible says that you're supposed to look at yourself and realize you don't have. Listen, if you think you came into church and you had anything to pay with, that you had anything to offer, you'd be wrong. Myself included, Jesus doesn't need any of us. There's 2,000 years of church history and none of us was involved in it. And Jesus still did what he was going to do. Amen. Amen. He didn't need any of us to establish his church. He doesn't need any of us. Don't you ever get so prideful to think that he needs you or this church to propel the gospel. Because before this church hasn't even existed 7 years quite yet. And the gospel is still out there. Amen. You don't have anything to pay with. You have nothing to pay. And so in forgiveness, always remind yourself, I got pardoned when I didn't have anything to even pay with. Now, come on now. Watch this. Let me illustrate it personally for you. You got some bills. Anybody got bills? Amen. Amen. I mean, the great American poets, Michelle Kelly and Beyonce said, can you pay my bills? Can you pay my automobiles? I don't think you do, right? I mean, listen, we all got some bills. We got a house note. We got a car note. We got student loans. We got something out there. I mean, you got to pay. We've been dealing with this ridiculous situation here trying to get a trash can in our utility bills here at the church. And you got to pay for trash cans, right? Amen. You're paying to have trash cans put at the road and water bills and all these different things. We all got some bills. But let me just tell you this. If you could call on one of those collectors and say, hey, listen, I need a little patience. Could you give me 2 or 3 months? And they just said, oh, no, it's completely pardoned. You never have to pay again. You would be jumping for joy and thanking the Lord, and you would be talking about how good those people were. You'd be like, Spectrum said I never got to pay again, and they're just going to keep on sending me high-speed internet for the rest of my life, and I never have to pay. I was 4 months in the bad. I was going to have to pay back, and they didn't even cut it off. They just told me I was pardoned. You would be telling everybody about Spectrum. You'd be out there just telling, oh, Lord, wintertime's coming. I don't know what it's called now, but back in the day it was called Vectrum. But when that gas bill goes up, if they called you and said, sir, Mr. Jones, you owe $5,675, but we're going to have to cut your lights off and or cut your gas off, and you're not going to be able to cook or have heat. And you begged, you fell down and said, please, please, please don't turn my gas off. I got kids. I got to feed them. I got to keep them warm. And they said, you know what? We're not going to just give you patience. We're going to completely pardon it for the rest of your life. You never have to pay your gas bill again. There would be dancing and charismatic movement in the Baptist church. People would be losing their mind if they never had to pay the gas bill again. I'm one of them. Amen. Because if you just completely pardoned it, I never had to worry about it again. Listen, that's what God did for us. But God expects the same in return for us. He expects for us to look at other people and say, I'm not going to just be patient for a little bit of time. I'm going to pardon you. Now, how I move on from that, what we do next, it's up to you in agape love. But the first part of it is you do need to pardon them. Remember, we're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ, because there's another way to deal with lost people. And the other way to deal with lost people is that they got to be converted. You're going to keep on trying to get them converted. Amen. Because you can't expect lost people to act like saved people. Right. And if you're acting lost people to act like saved people, then you're messed up, not them messed up. And so you got to keep preaching and teaching. And the point of that is, once they get saved, now we're praying that they change, that it was a real profession and a real confession and not just information, but transformation. And now we're going to disciple them and teach them so that we can't expect the same things from new Christians as we do with seasoned Christians, because we got to be teaching them and training them and getting them to a certain point. Because listen, first time bill payers may not understand what it looks like to get the bills on time. And now I know it's online and it's a lot easier to do, but sometimes people just completely forget in these things. But when you've been paying bills for 25, 30 years and it just comes on time, you really don't forget that stuff no more. Oh, don't let me hurt your feelings today. It's like paying tithe. No, real Christians don't forget to pay tithe. Look, nobody want to say nothing on that. Quiet. Real Christians don't forget to pay tithe. Because tithing is a debt you owe. Giving is a seed you sow. And so you saying I forgot to pay my tithe is like saying I forgot to pay my house bill. Well, they'll put you out your house. Foreclosure. If you pay rent, they'll just evict you. But praise be to God, because he pardoned you from all your sin. He don't just put you out the church for your lack of tithing. Come on. Listen, Brother Brandon, just learn this. They never say nothing when you talk about tithing. They get quiet. If you want Baptists to be quiet, just mention the tithe, and they'll get quiet. Start mentioning the money that's in their pocket, they'll get quiet. Like, they won't shut up for nothing else. But if you start talking about money, they'll be quiet. I've learned that. Just remember, you have nothing to pay with. But then number two, you got to remember this. No one owes you anything. You deserve death and hell. Only the mercy of God, only the grace of God has allowed you to be pardoned, but you don't deserve anything. Christians need to wake up in the morning and remind themselves that, listen, today these mercies are new. I deserve to go and die. And even though God's given me a little patience here on earth, He has pardoned me from my sin because of the blood of Christ. And there's nothing I could do to get it. There's nothing I could do to keep it. It's solely the mercy of God through the grace of God. And when we understand that we have nothing, no one owes us anything, it will help us to learn how to forgive. Look at verse 28. Because the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Look, he's got a $1 billion debt. He's going to go out and get $100 so he can try to pay on his $1 billion debt. But remember this, the debt was already pardoned. The king said, you don't owe me anything anymore. So what are you trying to go out and get $100 for when you owed $1 billion? Because it doesn't matter. Remember this. No one owes you anything. And he went out and put it. This is how we are. This is how we are. God forgave us, and it wasn't painful for us to get saved. It was painful for Jesus to save us on the cross. But we go out and want to get mad at somebody and put hands on somebody else when they do something to us that makes us mad. We want to go out and get violent. And God says, wait a minute, I'll take the violence so that you can be pardoned. But here we are wanting to go out and get violent. I'm telling you, this is us sometimes, Christian. Jesus is talking in the context of the church. I know that because Matthew 18, the next thing that Jesus has been talking about and he's been going through, he's talking about saved people. He just used the word church back there when we talk about church discipline. But the next thing he gets to, Jesus starts talking about all these multitudes and the Pharisees and all these people that came to him. And he talks about the Bible. Jesus is giving the context of what believers are supposed to be like after salvation and forgiveness. No one owes you anything. But number three, look at verse 35. This is the part we missed that I want you to get this morning. If you get nothing else, get this. Number three, you'll never have peace without forgiveness. You'll never have peace without forgiveness. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Remember the context. He's talking to saved people. So he's not talking about going to literal hell. He's talking about that your lack of forgiveness, that Jesus, he's talking to saved people. So he's saying, but hell awaits unforgiven hearts. Not physically, but a living hell on earth. Watch this. They done moved on, and you still mad at them. They're remarried, and you still trying to put sugar in the gas tank. You still listen to Carrie Underwood songs. They're happy. They've moved on. They forgot all about the issue you had, and you still over here salty, got your lips stuck out. And you know what's happening? Because of your lack of forgiveness, you're living in a proverbial hell on earth that you don't have to live in. You've been freed from that. And so sometimes forgiveness is not for the one that needs forgiveness. Sometimes forgiveness is for the one that needs to forgive. They don't move on. You still think about it. I always talk about this. I'm not going to allow people to live rent-free in my head. I got enough thoughts going on. Usually it's like bacon cheeseburger, cookies. You know, that's usually what's going on in my mind. I digress, but I want you to remember this. You'll never have peace without forgiveness. Unless you'll learn to forgive others, you'll never have true peace with yourself or on this earth, because it will always come back up. Isn't it crazy how things that make you mad keep showing up in your face? You thought you was over it, and then you see a picture. You thought you was over it, then you get a text. You thought you was over it, you might see a show or hear a song. You thought you was over it, and all of a sudden you go to the gas station, that person was walking in, and all those feelings of animosity and hate just come back up into your heart, into your mind. And guess what? A lot of times, especially lost people, they ain't thinking nothing about you. And you got your heart fixed on them. But if you get your heart off of them and on Jesus, you have a better opportunity to learn how to forgive. Now watch this. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm telling you that it's right. Commonly say this, do you want to be right or do you want to be righteous? Because you can be right without being righteous. You can argue your point and know that you're right, know that you're right, and know that you're right. But at some point in time, the Bible says, paraphrasing, a wise man doesn't argue with fools, because from a distance, nobody can tell who's from who. So you just have to say, you know what? You got that, and I'm going to move on. Because it ain't no sense in me being miserable because you're miserable. You know what I know about miserable people? They don't want nobody around them to be happy. They're miserable, so they want you to be miserable too. And I'm not going to live my life. God's been too good to me to live my life miserable because there's some miserable people around me. You can do anything you want to do, and people will get mad about something, won't they? It's never going to be good enough. My brother Carter just got back from coaching water polo out in Texas. And I guarantee you, with some kids, I guarantee you, maybe he didn't deal with it, but I guarantee you some of those coaches, somebody's mad about playing time, or somebody's mad because we didn't get this or we didn't get to do that. And you can do everything you possibly can know to do right, and somebody's still going to be mad about something. I told you, this isn't like nice, but it's the reality of life. I don't worry too much about other people and what they think of me or what they think of the church, because guess what? It's going to be somebody that doesn't like every decision you make. It's going to be somebody that doesn't like every song you sing. It's going to be somebody that don't like every sermon you preach. And if you major on that, you're missing out on all the blessings of God, because that's how we are as people. We major on the things that hurt us. We major on the things that were wrong or the things that were bad. But listen, that you may be right, but it's not righteous, because the righteous thing to do is to go on and forgive them and move on. Because with the same pardon that you received is the same pardon that you're supposed to pay back. You probably don't know it, but you probably only know Shirley Caesar from beans, greens, potatoes, hams, rams, hogs, dogs, chickens, turkeys, you name it. You probably know her from that. But there's an old Shirley Caesar song called No Charge. If I had a Shirley Caesar listener, somebody would know this today. And the song goes something like this. It's actually from an old sermon that an old pastor preached. A little boy took out his pen and wrote on the back of an envelope to his mother, "For the trash I took out, you owe me 10 cents. For the dishes that I washed, you owe me a dollar. For the car that I washed, $2. For going up and taking the laundry downstairs, $1. And at the end of it, he writes to his mom, that'll be $3.10. And his mother opened the envelope and saw what her son had wrote. And in the song, the mother replies back, for the nights that I stayed up late when you were sick, no charge. For the 9 months I carried you in my womb, no charge. For the food that I put on your plate every night, no charge. For the money I paid for you to play sports, no charge. For all the things that I've done for you and given for you, no charge. Because I did that out of love, not out of want to be repaid. The moral of the story is for us that of all the sin, of all the offense, of all the things we've done wrong, of all the things that we've tried to pay God back for, God says no charge, but then we have the audacity to look at our brothers and sisters and want to charge them for things where God has already told them there was no charge for those things. If you want to learn how to forgive, one of my kids, I won't say which one, because they have a good heart, they often want to pay me or pay me back for things. Dad, I know that costs a lot of money. I'll pay you back. Dad, I know that was a lot of money. I want to pay you back for that. And I'll say to them, kind of like the Shirley Caesar song, did you pay me when I was giving you a bath when you were a little kid and couldn't wash yourself? Did you pay me when I was changing your diapers? Did you pay me for all those toys I purchased for you? Did you pay me for that room and board you've had all these years? Did you pay me for the school tuitions that I've had to pay? Did you pay me for the gas money it took to get you to your games? Did you pay me for all the hair care products? This could be my boys or my girls, amen. Did you pay me for all the shoes when you grew out of them every 2 months? Did you pay me for the streaming services that you just had to have? Did you pay me for them green beans you nibble on every night? I don't want you to pay me back. There's no charge. But here's what God wants us to do, and here's what we want from our children. I just want you to say thank you. Amen. There's no charge, but I want you to be thankful that what I did for you, because watch this, because I knew you couldn't do it for yourself, that you would be thankful for that. Listen, we ought to be thankful to God because the salvation he has wrought in us, we couldn't do by ourselves. We could not do on our own. And he said there's no charge. He knows that it would never be enough for you to try to pay him back, and he doesn't want you to pay him back. He just wants you to say thank you. And for us who need to learn to forgive, he doesn't expect you to forgive somebody and become their best friend every single time. But I want to give you this, and this is why this is so important. Big people, listen to me, learn from little people. And this is why Jesus, I didn't read it, but in the verses 1-6, Jesus comes to this conclusion to the apostles, to the disciples. He says this, he says, bring one of these little children unto me and put them right here. And when you put the little child here, he says, now watch. If you want to learn how to forgive, he says, unless you become as one of these little children, you aren't really going to get it. And I observe, and this is the truth of little children. Now, I'm going to use the smallest children to our church because they do it even better than the bigger children to our church. You can walk into the nursery any given Sunday. Some of you, I wish I had a nursery worker here to testify on this. And you may have a little kid literally say to another little kid, I don't like you. No, that happens. Because remember I told you, 2-year-olds, terrible twos is a thing, but 3-nagers is the worst. Because now three-year-olds, they can verbalize and move a little better, and they start getting their neck popping all like this here and things like this. A three-year-old girl is the spawn of Satan. I'm just telling y'all right now. Because they just talk to you any old way. They be looking at you like you short. You came in there like where my snack? Like juice. Like, who are you? Like, and you can come in and on any given Sunday, they might just be like, oh, I don't like you today. But what I've recognized is, not even 2 minutes later, they're playing together and they say, I love you, you're my best friend. There was no conversation. They didn't have to go and tweet about it. They didn't have to go and tell it to two or three other kids in the nursery. They didn't have to go and tell it to the nursery teachers. They just came together as little children, and they said, whatever we was arguing about before, whatever I was mad about before, it don't matter no more. And so guess what? We just right back in the same relationship we was before I ever told you I didn't like you. But here's big people. I don't like you. And you did this. Some of y'all got a longer I don't like you list than you do a grocery list. But if we want to learn how to forgive, remember the first things that Jesus said to him? He says, you need to be humble like these little children, because little children are humble. You know why I know about a three-year-old? It's crazy. Sometimes three-year-olds can be. A three-year-old still knows, even when they act like they don't want help. That's the stage they get into. They're independent. Don't hold my hand. I don't want to walk up here. But what I know about a three-year-old is when they get hurt, when they get hungry, they're not too proud to go ask their father or their mother. Here we are, big people, and we get so proud. We hurt, we desperate, but we're so proud and so stubborn, we won't go ask for anybody's help. We won't ask to get it right. But then Jesus also says you got to be honest. And you got to be honest in two parts. You got to be honest with yourself and the person that hurt you. It's not a good thing. And sometimes we say to those kids, oh, don't say that. Don't say you don't like her. Don't say you don't like him. But you know what the reality of it is? At least they was being honest. They may have bolder than some of you big people that just talk about them behind their back. Oh, they was quiet, Brandon. You see what I'm saying? You just got to learn there's certain intricacies of preaching that you know when you can get the people to shut up. Them little kids, they come right up to you. I don't like you. Oh, Lord. And the other one, and this is what you get back. I don't like you either. 2 seconds later, they're friends. But all teenagers, listen to me, because y'all are like this. Instead of just telling each other, hey, I had a problem with what you said about me the other day. Y'all want to run and cry and talk about people behind their back. Big people, you're like that too. Oh, I can't believe. You know, now listen to me. This ain't nice. But y'all know y'all do that when you be people watch. Anybody like to people watch? Yeah. Y'all be people watching, and y'all do the same thing. Whether they're Christians or not, you be like, la, 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 la. No, she knew good and well she didn't need that on. Y'all know how y'all do. Don't play like that. I know he ain't out there with his shirt off. All that jelly and no toast. You know what I'm talking about. Y'all know how y'all do. Don't try to act like you're better than me. You ain't no better than me. Humble yourself, because you do the same thing. You be at the mall. You be at Kings Island. You be people watching. Like, look at them kids. Them kids is bad. Meanwhile, your kids is acting a complete donkey fool. First thing you got to do is humble yourself and be honest with yourself. Some people just ain't reasoning with themselves. They won't be honest with themselves and be like, you know what? I'm a little trifling too sometimes. And so I need to forgive other trifling people because I'm trifling. Remember, they're both servants. It says his fellow servant, he went to the king and got complete pardon when he was just begging for patience. Now a fellow servant's looking for patience and he refuses the pardon and gives him prison. Stop putting people in prison when you got pardon and they deserve nothing either. But if you got pardon, God says, then you need to start pardoning some people. And as we receive the Lord's Supper today, one of these things that we talk about is self-examining ourselves, being honest with ourselves. Watch this. In the deep, dark corners of your life, you need to get honest with yourself right here, right now, and say, here's some things that are going on in my life. I need to be honest with me. Don't blame nobody else. Don't let Sheila's name come up in your mind. We ain't talking about Sheila. We're talking about you. Don't be looking at, well, Bobby. No, we're not talking about Bobby. We're talking about you. You need to self-examine your heart, get your heart clear and say, where am I wrong, God? And most of the time, you don't have to ask God where you're wrong because you already know where you're wrong. You just didn't want to admit it. And you need to go to God and say, you know what? I told y'all, I'm trying to get much better at this in my own personal life. As I mature in Christ, I'm trying to get much better at stopping before I get too far and talking about people or allowing people around me to be talking about people. I'm trying to get much better in my own personal life, not being around that, not even if they've done me wrong, even if they've hurt me, trying to get away from that. Because watch, with the same measure of forgiveness that is meted out to you is the same measure that's, or the same measure you forgive with the same that's meted out to you. And I know this about me. I need a lot of forgiveness. I can be honest with myself. I get to be honest in public in front of 100 some odd people every week and say I'm the chief among sinners. And I'm not saying that out of just sheer humility. I'm saying that out of truth. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm not where I want to go either. God's still working on me. If he ain't still working on you, then listen, you need to talk about that because you think you're better than you are. Hey, listen, the devil will lie to you. He will have you thinking that you are the best of the best. He will have you thinking, when he went to Jesus to tempt him, he told Jesus. He let him know. He didn't deny Jesus' deity. He didn't deny that Jesus was the Christ. He just said, hey, listen, I can give you some things. Do you want them? And Jesus withstood that. No, I'm not going to live by turn that stone into bread. I don't live by that alone. You can have all these kingdoms. Jesus is like, I don't need them kingdoms. I got the kingdom. Jesus said, I don't need any of the stuff you got. But watch this. You and I got to get honest with ourselves and humble and realize you don't have nothing to pay. You don't got nothing anybody else wants. Everything you got is going to die with you. You may have a lot of talent. You may have a lot of this or that, but there'll be somebody that comes along that just has just as much or more than you. Nobody owes you anything. People in the world think people owe them something. People become takers because they just think, people do that at church. They just think the church owes them something. The church don't owe you not a thing. Jesus died to pay it all. The church doesn't have to have a youth program. The church doesn't have to have a nursery. The church doesn't have to have free meals and inflatables. The church doesn't have to have, we don't have to have any of that stuff. There's nowhere in the Bible that says we got to do that. You know what we got to have at the church? We got to have some preaching, some prayer, and some songs. Some fellowship. But fellowship doesn't mean, as Baptists think, that you got to eat every time. Sometimes that just means you say hi and hug somebody. You ain't always got to have a sandwich, fatty. Listen. I asked the Lord to forgive me. He pardoned me. We need to remember to learn to forgive. Guess what, guys? There's nothing you could do to pay it back. You ain't got enough. And God doesn't want it back. He just wants us to say thank you. We're going to do that today. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I'm going to give you an opportunity to flesh out any issues.